you're getting a whole new hierarchy of priorities in these communities. What's important?
Right.
Lower taxes versus lighted streets, or lower taxes versus
more
schools,
cops.
Or more cops, or whatever it happens to be.
Right.
And I think out of this is inevitably going to come different public officials, because you're getting a lot of citizen dissatisfaction in some areas with the choices that are made.
John, let me ask you this. Speaking about race, except for tokenism, and it's like, that's something I can do a lot more of, and I'm willing. I'm not going to do it with our enemies.
Sure.
But with our friends.
Sure.
I got to be goddamn safe if we ever come in here.
Yep.
Like what you do with that little black girl is fine. And one day when she takes the job, I'll come in say hello to her. Maybe it isn't necessary.
Well, Walter Washington is a safe token.
I know.
He's a he's a national token. He's not just a local phenomenon.
You've done him so often, though.
I understand, but you know, you don't have a lot of them that you can do it with. That'll go out and shuffle around and say, that president's a great man and he's doing wonderful things here in this city for you folks and all that. And this old boy will do it.
Coming back to this, what can you do for the blacks? What in the name of Christ can we do? We can't integrate housing, John.
No, I tell you.
I can't integrate the school.
I understand.
Wrong.
I understand.
And I cannot increase welfare. I cannot do family assistance. It's wrong. I'm not going to give more food stamps. It's wrong. Oh, yes. I'll do that disease that they've got.
Sickle cell.
I'll do anything in terms of providing more money for little kids.
Well, let me tell you a safe line.
But if we could get some line on their line, sure we care.
All right.
But I just don't want, I cannot do the things that are going to put the blacks and whites in confrontation.
Education is a safe line.
Fine, yeah.
And you're on that.
Right.
You're already on that.
Oh, yes.
And that's
money
for disadvantaged schools, where they are. Improving the neighborhood school, pumping the extra money into the disadvantaged school. Improving the plant, improving the faculty, improving the
budget. You've got to think that'll help too, don't you?
It'll help some, because it's so crappy now.
I know.
And I think it'll help you.
My hand may be wrong about that. You know, they swing from area to area. Once it was all acquired.
Yeah.
And now it's all hereditary.
Well.
And frankly, it's a little bit of both. Well, it's a hell of a lot more hereditary than environment, let's face it.
All right.
Environment can't take a moron and make him a genius.
But you remember, we got into this subject talking about tokenism. Okay. A school is in the neighborhood. It's highly visible. It is visited by the people of the community. And it is it's a superb token. It's a hell of a lot better than a minority business. Because you
can forget the minority business.
There's no governmental connection of this.
All right. What do we do about the school thing?
You've got legislation that died in the last Congress. You've got some that passed. You could go to schools on a before and after basis. And that's a safe thing to go to.
Think so?
Yeah. You pick an elementary school, all you got is the teachers and the little kids. You know, you can't miss on a thing of that kind. And it gets you into a black area on neutral ground, because the school is always neutral ground. And so if you have to do tokenism, that's where you can do it. You can be for better education. That's a cinch. You can be for better reading programs. Again, so, you know. And everybody accepts the truism that you don't get advancement for minorities until they are educated.
Right.
Now, maybe that's not true, but everybody accepts that as true.
Now, let me come to you. How do we get it? Weinberger now is totally on board about family assistance second flush.
Oh, sure. Sure.
What do we do about family assistance?
Well,
what did you say about it?
I said yesterday that the election results were a mandate for a tougher work requirement. That was question number one. Question number two was the administration sank family assistance. And I said, no, The Congress, the Senate, deadlocked on family assistance. And what we had proposed, obviously, was not acceptable to a majority of the Senate. We worked hard. The President worked hard. The Secretary worked hard. Everybody worked hard, but we couldn't get it through the Senate. So they said, well, what does that mean for next time? I said, well, you got two things working. Everybody out in the country who ran for office this time had to take a position on welfare, because it was an issue all over the country.
Right.
So you have a much more informed Congress with regard to the will of the people.
Right.
Everybody who ran on the platform that welfare had to be changed.
Right.
It was a mess.
Right.
So you got a climate of acceptance in the Congress.
Right.
Now I said, we're perfectly willing to go to the Congress with a proposal that conforms with the President's platform during this election, which is to do away with AFDC, to devise a program that will move people into work, that will eliminate fraud. And I said, we've had experiments going around the country. We know quite a bit about how to do this kind of thing.
Family assistance, and you still kept it.
Oh, I didn't say a word about family assistance. No, indeed.
Okay.
And I said, you've got congressmen up there now who have run for office and been elected on a welfare reform proposal of one kind or another. And I said, I'm confident that we can find a way to move away from AFDC into something better. Now, I didn't, and that's as far as I went. But I do think...
You understand with the blacks, the thing that I'm really concerned about, more than anything else, basically, is really to be concerned. I mean, this is a... Not something that we should ever say, but it's something that if you... You ever got any of Lincoln's, any writings of reading about Lincoln that the blacks thought?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't believe in equality.
That's right.
I believe they were basically going to be inferior for a number of reasons.
Yep.
Not only
have
his background, but basically slavery and a lot of other things.
That was one of the real tragedies of his assassination.
But on the other hand, Lincoln had a great feeling for Terrence. In other words, all the blacks thought he was their friend,
yep,
even though he knew that they didn't have it.
Yep.
Now, I don't go along with the phony liberals when they say, let that change. Why does the University of Southern California have number one football team this year? Why does Stanford have it last year and the year before? These are two schools with the same entrance requirements. Why? Because, like every other goddamn school in the country, they don't have to have those requirements for blacks.
Black athletes.
And so the black athletes get it. We're morons, but great football players.
Yep.
Am I wrong or
right? No, that's right. And they go, well, they don't just get in, they go out and recruit them. They bring them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Chrysler are full of blacks.
Sure.
Southern California, full of blacks.
That's right.
And you know where the hell they got those. That's how they get around the whole business of the recruitment.
Sure.
Now, the difficulty in my case is that in terms of the blacks, they looked at those black leaders and all the rest, you can't help but feel for them. You want to help them. You see the little black kids, you want to help them. You see these poor waiters shuffling around up there, you want to help them. But unfortunately, you see, it is true, they are behind. And so many of them are very, very dumb. Sure, you run into one girl like Sally, like that's why I have a race.
One minute.
And yeah, you run into this nice Jules LaFontaine, who's quite outstanding. I mean, we know she's no damn genius.
Yep.
But she's above the average.
Yep.
Even among whites, in other words, she'd do well. But there's two. But my point is, John, we really feel for them in a personal way, and not in an inferior way. I don't consider them inferior. I know a hell of a lot of whites that are so goddamn dumb I can't stand them, and you can't stand them. But what I mean is, we've got to quit kidding ourselves with this malarkey to the effect that the blacks are equal, and that they can be made equal simply by putting them and forcing them into the same schools and in the same housing as the whites have. Now, this isn't going to happen. So what we've got to do is to get some honesty in the goddamn program. And I think, as far as this office is concerned, the best thing I can do is to just reward the good blacks, be nice to them, shake their hands like the Sammy Davises and the rest.
you can do more than that.
And maybe improve their schools.
You can improve their education, for one thing.
I think
we ought to keep this minority business thing going.
Yes.
It isn't costing a hell of a lot.
And
it's a good thing to point to. And it helps at the margins of the problem. But the thing that you've done in 4 years that has probably helped them more than anything else is deflate the expectations in the black community in this country that was tearing them up. You had people who couldn't cut it thinking that they had a God-given right to be members of the cabinet or presidents of General Motors or something else.
That's right.
And over a period of 4 years, that whole thing has come down to...
That's why it was good not to appoint them to the cabinet.
I think so.
That's why, however, it will be good to appoint a couple of ambassadors.
I think if you could...
Let me say on ambassadors, however, I'm not going to get sent one to Sweden for the reason I don't want to forgive black. It's library, yes, it's always black, but rather than the Sweden, we'll send it to Norway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it'd be a bit much to follow Holland right now.
That's right.
Besides, it'd be pretty hard for the next guy, for the fellow you sent.
Holland's pretty
first one. He was very innovative. But I think you can continue this business of saying, look, I'm colorblind when it comes to appointments. And I appoint on the basis of worth and merit and so on, and just keep saying that for 4 years about everything. Look, I'm colorblind. This is a school. It's a bad school. It isn't well equipped. There isn't enough money going into it, so we're going to help. Not because it's a black school or a white school, but just because it's an inferior school. And if you just keep that kind of thing going, you're going to help them more in the long haul. Although they won't realize it, and the leaders of the civil rights movements will kick and scream and holler and all that. I think you'll help them more in the long haul than if you coddled them and kidded them and overpromised them and all the rest of it. That's hard.
Why doesn't Hesburgh crack all that on? He does. He knows better. He must, or does he?
Oh, I don't think he does. And I think he's captured by that sort of civil rights community. Well, it's that, and it's like the Georgetown elite. There's a kind of a milieu there, and you get into that, and everybody talks to everybody within that group, and they have certain accepted assumptions,
well, you can do
blacks. And so on. Now, I think we're well rid of Hesburgh, but the problem is who you get to take his place, and that's a tough one. I think Pottinger is going to be ideal in the Civil Rights Division because he does travel with that civil rights elite, and yet he's been in the field, and he knows the moves, and he knows the jargon and all that. But we've got to get a hell of a guy now to go into the civil rights thing.
Why don't you get a good intellectual who's on our side?
Well, I'd love to find a guy that could pack that. That racism. Finch came in this morning, all concerned because Romney is about to take the leadership of that National Voluntary Center. And Bob thinks that.
He asked me about it. I said, Bob on him?
No, he just thinks Romney's a bad guy and he's gonna run it into the ground and so forth. I said, well, I thought that you had talked to Romney and that you'd also talked to Clem Stone about it. And am I right about that? Talk to Clem about Romney? Okay. Well, on that stuff.
Look, who's going to run Fenders? Finch?
I don't know. I think we'll let go. Can Romney run it?
See, what the hell? Can he run it? I mean, Finch didn't run it very well.
No. No.
But Romney tried?
Yeah, he can't do it worse. That's for sure.
Well, he needs to keep Romney in his second phase.
You made that part.
I didn't tell Stone that.
Did you tell Stone that?
I didn't tell Stone.
You you told Romney that.
I cannot do the debt. I cannot do the debt. And I want you to hit that hard, whether it's stone or resin. I am not going to do it because I'm not going to sit down to dinner again with Gardner.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, they'll all be there the same, but I'm not going to do it, Johnson.
Okay.
And I don't believe we should.
No problem.
I think we should just start the idea the White House will not be used
for fundraising purposes. Across the board.
How does that sound?
That's a rule that we could keep.
The White House, the president feels, yes, we've done it before. And well, what about having a dinner for the boards of directors and the rest? No, directly or indirectly.
Now, you'll have to be willing to hold that line with the boys' clubs and all the rest. But if you hold it, you know, okay, if you hold it, then we're safe.
No money raising, and that would mean directly or indirectly.
Yep.
And we're not going to be used basically just chum to get people into town.
Okay. That's great.
We're going to purpose in, and we can say we consider this to be a money raising deal. We're just not going to do it.
Yep. That's great.
I have one, of course, very good thing going in that direction, too. The fact that breaking off relations with the Business Council makes it possible for me to say, well, I have to stick with the Business Council, so this is my reason. But they are a bunch of people that I don't think serve a useful purpose, and I'm not going to have them in the White House anymore. So, God damn it, they say, well, I'm not having the Business Council. But we're just trying to talk to some new people, some different people. The old elite has had it. Let's just understand once and for all they have. And I'm not going to have the Gardner group in again. I'm not going to have that coalition group in again. Don't ask me again, incidentally, to do that jobs thing. I'm not going to do it. I don't know who we got that job for. Remember, I've done that every year.
Oh, that boy.
And I had in these little, huh?
The one that Kendall had.
Kendall?
Yeah.
Oh, NAB had it.
NAB.
And then the Boa, Chicago had it, from the Sears Robot, and all the rest. They always come in, I've got to do it, I've got to do the job thing because this is the thing, it's happening. We subsidize the goddamn thing. It will not be done in the White House. It will not be done in the White House. It will not be done in the White House. I'm not going to do those people anymore.
Well,
now, how the hell do we
as long as we have a general rule, I don't think we've got a problem.
See, that's with money raising.
Yep.
Unfortunately, that has to do with a program, but I just believe that program should be the hell out of here.
See, that's a
give it to Rob. Give it to Edmund.
Well, give it to Brenner. That's his program.
Yeah.
He'll be the one hitting it.
Wow. No, but it's basically a business group.
Yeah, but it's run out of the Department of Labor, you know.
Well, can you, in your little conversations with the rest, say, we're getting the president out of that, we're getting different things or certain groups and all
sure.
That?
Sure, you bet.
Poverty would have run out of it. It's run out of the Eastern establishment. That's what it's run out of. It's part of the whole business that came out of the Johnson administration. I want you to look at those programs. You might have somebody look at the schedule of things I have done of that sort. Find out how many of them really we came out of the Great Society, John. You see my point?
Yep.
And knock them off.
Yep.
And let me quit talking.
I've got a schedule of those. I've got a tabulation of those.
You see my point?
I know
what that is.
I know exactly which ones of the program.
I am not going to do it.
Okay.
And they say if we could only have a president for this or that or the other guy, if we could only have him, and in another very different sense, is Jerry Ford with his goddamn breakfast with the Congress.
Yeah.
What damn earthly good does it do? I must say, I think good relations with Congress, I'm talking to them on the phone and so forth. Probably helps, but I don't know that sitting down to breakfast with them does all that much good. What do you think?
Well, you know what they do? They go back and they say to their wives, I've been to the White House, and they say to their staffs, I've been to the White House, and they put it in their newsletter.
Well, that's
what does them some good? Doesn't do you any good.
That's my point. Well, does it do me some good with them because it does them some good?
Kick you in the ass because you didn't have them twice.
You agree?
I'm sure. I know that's what happened.
We've been through it before.
We had them all down here for breakfast, you know.
Every
single guy down here.
You were gracious. You were nice. We took lots of time. We bored ourselves to death.
That isn't what got revenue sharing passed. It didn't pass for 2.5 years after that. The mayors went around and just beat them over the head is what got it passed.
And yet, you can't get around the fact that the president's got to have some friends now. down and talk to Peter Dominic.
No.
God, that all he has done is kick us in the ass.
Crybaby. He's just a crybaby. Chronic crybaby. Yeah.
Santa Cruz Gordon.
A guy like Brock is another story.
Oh, yes. I can start talking.
Yep. And Brock will produce. And he's not demanding. It's an interesting difference.
We gotta look it over that way. With the Harlow syndrome, we got the bad habit, which Timmons is finally gracefully growing out of. McGregor wasn't in long enough. McGregor was great. McGregor saw him himself, which was marvelous.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Timmons can't quite do that because he doesn't have the, you know,
quite the presence. He doesn't have the, that's the word. Yeah.
He doesn't have the presence.
That's right.
Timmons, when he comes in to see people, is considered to be kind of a errand boy, on his face. Right.
Yeah, and that's pretty much of his own doing.
Because of the way he acts.
Yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't walk in and as a commander.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah.
And he must go in there and say, I wonder if I could see you, Minute Senator. It'd be all right. You are. Well, I know. You know how he talks.
Yes.
It's not a good choice. Got to be changed. I don't know when. We haven't got a man, though.
Well, Jim Smith's going to stay at Treasury. You can always look in there.
They like Cora Lopez in the Senate, apparently.
Well, Tom's
a little more on the ball.
Tom's very effective, but there again, if Tom were in the top spot, he wouldn't be nearly as effective.
Yeah.
I mean, because he isn't the top guy. He isn't that kind of a guy. Tom is superb as an operator, and he gets around and he sits and gasses with him and all that.
Maybe Smith's got it.
I think Smith's got a lot of, he's got the presence, he's got the bearing, and he's got the balls, and I think you ought to, we'll run him in a few times as you get acquainted with him.
What we want to do is, a better one is, I want to do something there, mainly just like said by, here the bitches of cabinet officers that are leaving and all that sort of crap. And I think it's only fair anyway, I've seen the others. I thought that I would have Mrs. Brennan, sit on my right, and an undersecretary's wife sit on my left at this cabinet dinner. How's that sound to you?
Pretty interesting.
With my mind?
Yep. Yep.
And move the table around a little that way so that they get to sit. And we're going to knock off this bullshit that you've got to be this and that. Otherwise, I sit by Adele Rogers, you know, who's lovely.
Yeah.
But there's shit I didn't say.
Yeah. Have you ever met Krogh's wife? Young, redhead, very bright.
Never sit on my wife.
Lived in Japan for 4 or 5 years. Been around the world.
I probably would be better advised, however, to take a new undersecretary's wife. But I, it was not
Let's
around.
See.
But I never met. Is there anybody new?
We don't have a hell of a lot of new undersecretaries. Simon.
Mrs. Simon.
Yeah.
Is she?
I don't, I've never seen her.
She's She's obviously going to be intelligent.
Yeah.
When I say obviously,
yeah.
She's
I would think so. I would think so.
You might have that.
Yeah.
How would that be?
That could be good. That could be great.
Let me see you moving around. Pat, I think I will. I think I'll let her sit before. Any cabinet types, you know.
Maurice Sands or somebody that you want to favor?
I would put, make a mental note of that to Maurice Sands. Well, it can't be John Mitchell because, but Maury by all means, and who the hell is?
Oh, Cliff Harden or somebody?
Well, I'm going to vote. But it's going to be Romney doesn't deserve it, does he? Or would you have Romney?
I don't think that's quite the signal to get Romney right now.
I think Volpe is the signal.
I think the possibility that with Romney is that he earns his way here.
Volpe did what he was told, and he did it like a man. And why not Volpe in the stands? You know, Volpe will be damn glad. But let me sit with an undersecretary. How's that sound?
I think that's a good move. Very good.
Sit down again, that old goddamn thing, or any blacks on the
number one.
You don't have any undersecretaries that are black? Oh, well.
Not unless they rank Sam Jackson as undersecretary, which is, I doubt that they would do.
Bend over and do it.
Okay.
Just ran in there. You know, in a sense, too, I just think because he's leaving, why the crisis, even though he wasn't the system when we had Bob Brown, doesn't make any difference. Ray Bryce and Herb Klein, I think they're going to have Klein. I don't know if they are, but they're going to have Finch, I'm sure, and Rumsfeld. Mm-hmm. Why should Bob Brown be there? Be great with that. That ain't rather than Jackson.
He said to me, and I said to him, that gets it.
Right. All right. But now let's be very, very honest about this. I'm willing to do anything that'll help. You don't think it helps us, John?
I don't see it ever translating into concrete results.
What you would do is to do that, do more with the people that will help us.
That's right.
And it's purely a basis of, are you on our side, boys? And if you are, you get down here to talk to the president.
The sessions that you had with the good guys on the Senate Finance Committee contributed more to stopping family assistance than anything else that any of us did.
Really?
Sure. Because they got the virus. They got the sanctions. What you wanted, and you didn't have to say it flatly, but you were down here, and it was that exposure, you see. I think that's a much more effective use of your time when we've got something that we need. Get in the guys that will work for you.
All right. We're right about a few of these things. You pass those to the lighter.
I will.
To Bob or whoever they are working schedules. You and I spent 2 hours talking about